Galatians 2, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That really is just the only verse I want to read to you this evening. That verse there, Galatians 2, verse 20. And to maybe just comment on the person that penned those words. I am crucified with Christ, but I live. But not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Just mention something about the man who penned those words, as of course he was directed by the Holy Spirit of God, a man called Paul. And what made me think of this verse was in our hymn we sung these words: the vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus of pardon receives. The vilest offender. Many of us may not want to put that tag upon ourselves. We're not vile, we're not offenders. But when we start listening to the voice of God, we know that his word that we have here tonight in our hands says that all of us have sinned and we've come short of the glory of God. Who can ever enter into his presence and his glory if they haven't been washed in that blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? They haven't had their sins washed away. We've all sinned and we've come short of that wondrous glory of God. So we have to meet with somebody, a mediator, a middleman, before we can approach the throne of God. And we're not dealing with something which is mystical or vague this evening. We're dealing with living realities, knowing God as our Father, our Heavenly Father. And in knowing him, we have to know that one, the Lord Jesus Christ, the mediator, the middleman. The Bible says, does it not? There's one mediator, there's one middleman between God and man, and that is Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus. No man comes to the Father except through me. That's what the Lord Jesus said, didn't he? No man comes to the Father except through me. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he has done. What great things the Lord Jesus has done. We can just see here what he did for a man called Paul, his original name being that of Saul, a man who hated Christians. He hated them with all his heart and soul. And yet he could write these powerful words in Galatians 2 verse 20. If we maybe just look at Acts, the book of Acts, just a few books previous to Galatians, the book of Acts chapter 9. First book after the Gospels. Acts chapter 9. Verse 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, so that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? The Lord said to him, Arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. That's just a bit of history for this man who wrote those words in Galatians. A name changed to Paul. Originally he was called Saul. And there we just have it summed up. He breathed out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. Perhaps there was never such a man who hated the people of God so much as did this man, Saul, breathing out threatenings and slaughter. It says that he compelled men and women to blaspheme the name of God, to take God's name in vain. This is the contempt and the hatred he had for the things of God. And again, perhaps we wouldn't put ourselves in that situation, but as we read the verses of Scripture, we realise that God views us all the same. He doesn't see the do-gooders, the do-badders, if you like. He sees us all as sinners, and we've fallen short of his glory. And the wonderful thing is that we can approach that glory. We can approach God this evening. We can enter into his presence. We cannot see him, but with the eye of faith. And what a rock-solid thing faith is. Faith is believing and yet not seeing with the physical eye. The spiritual eye sees. Tonight you can have that vision if you haven't got it yet. We can have that marvellous vision of glory and wonder and light. You know, there's a verse that says, God dwells in the light which no man can approach. And yet this evening, if we take refuge in that rock of ages, cleft for us, the Lord Jesus, the one that has provided the way to God, the God of heaven, the Father, we can approach the Father this evening. And we can have joy and peace in our hearts, forgiveness of sins, and what a glorious thing that is. It was only last week that two youngsters gave their hearts to the Lord, 13 years old. Oh, they knew exactly what they were doing. In no uncertain terms, the glory of God and the love of Jesus Christ had been made known to them. His death on the cross, how much we reminded them of that cross at Calvary, that centre cross where God the Son poured out his blood for you and me. And yes, they were born again. They were born again, given a new life, a God-created and a God-powered life. A girl of 13 gave her heart to the Lord, and a young lad confessed the Lord Jesus. His words were these, and I want you to remember them. With sorrowful heart, he just said, I'm so sorry it was the Lord Jesus that was on the cross. It should have been me. It should have been me. And I think Paul realized that himself. He had forever sought to afflict and punish the people of God. And he tasted of the wonderful love and grace of God. And he was able to look up with all that light about him. And he was able to say, Lord, Lord. He was well aware of who he had met that day on that road. As he journeyed to persecute more people, God had that perfect time. He had that perfect time on that road when he was going to stop Paul and he was going to convert that man. And so this evening, as we come along here, we're travelling, we're going through life's journey. We're all going in different directions, perhaps physically speaking, here, there and everywhere. But when it comes to the things of God, we're only going in either two directions, heaven or hell, the lake that burns with fire and brimstone. And we would not deceive anyone this evening by not telling them of the truth of these things that God has revealed to us through his word. We have those two destinies before us. We thought at the camp this weekend of the broad way and of the narrow way. Few there be that find the narrow. Many that go in the broad way, sadly enough, the wide gate. Few there be that find the narrow way. But we can find that way. Straight is the gate. Narrow is the gate. That gate is the Lord Jesus, who can say, I am the door. By me, if any man enters in, he shall be saved. He shall be saved. How wonderful these things are. And this was the sort of man Saul was. He dragged people out of their homes by their hair, it says. Imagine that, imagine that. He would pull them out of their homes by their hair. He hated them. What a contrast. When we turn back to Galatians 2:20, and he can say these words. His life was changed, and as I said, as we journey through life, God's will, his heart's desire. Imagine this, the one that formed you and me and created this world, this universe. His will, his desire is to have you and me with him, worshipping the Lord Jesus. How glorious that is. He wants. I ask you, do you want? He wants you, but do you want him? And we have to say that to each of ourselves, don't we? If we're Christians, or if we're not Christians, we've got to address that to ourselves. If we've been born again, he wants us every day. He wants our whole being. He wants our whole attention. He wants me to serve him. He wants you to serve him, doesn't he? Not out of a constraint, or I must serve him, but out of sheer love, responsive love. He wants our whole being. Romans says, offer your body a living sacrifice. I beseech you, Paul says again, this man Paul, I beseech you by the mercies of God that you offer your body a living sacrifice daily, so that each day we hand our lives over to God to be used. And that is his desire. He wants us. And if you're not saved yet, then you must be born again, says the Bible. God says you must be born again because he wants you. Because he wants you. This is marvellous. We've been able to tell the kids this last week. God wants you because he loves you. And he's shown his love by sending the Lord Jesus Christ. And who can fathom the depths of his sufferings? Can you measure the sufferings of the cross of Calvary? Not only was he speared in the side and nailed to a cross, but he actually was punished by God for the sins of the world. And if you just try and total up the wrongdoings of your life, imagine what it's like for the whole world. He took upon himself those sins, and God punished them in Jesus Christ. Imagine that, his sufferings. And we can come into the enjoyment of that, the enjoyment, the joy and the peace. We mentioned joy last week. It's a three-letter word, but my goodness, there's a lot of power in that word, joy. It's a deep-rooted word, is it not? It's a deep-rooted word, joy, joy. If you want joy, real wonderful joy, says the chorus, let Jesus come into your heart. Let him. Will you let him? He wants you. So, these wonderful words, mentioned a few years ago to me, stuck with me ever since, how wonderful they are, and Paul was able to write them. I am crucified with Christ. He wasn't saying that he was physically crucified with Christ. He was saying that he'd met the Lord Jesus on that road to Damascus. His life must have flashed before him, all his sins. He didn't think to himself, I'm too much of a sinner. I can't make it to glory in heaven with Christ. No, no. It was made clear to him that despite his hatred and his evil, he could be made clean. He could be lifted up out of the pit of sin, and he could be set on a pinnacle and given joy and peace. He realized these things. His life was transformed. Transformed. And so when he says, I'm crucified with Christ, he says, that's it. My life has changed. I've gone in the total opposite direction. And I'm saying, I'm dead to the world, spiritually speaking. I've had enough. My desires have gone. Everything's been severed. It's been chopped off. I am crucified with Christ. I'm on the Lord's side. That's what he's saying, I'm sure. I'm on the Lord's side. Another question for us tonight. Are we on the Lord's side? Or have we as yet shut him out of our lives? How great and glorious that he's still tarrying, he's still waiting, that we can still speak of these wonderful things, these treasures, these precious things, and we can still be saved this evening. We don't know what tomorrow holds, but God wills that all men be saved. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. We had that question in the quiz. We said, when is the time to be saved? When is the time to be saved? Somebody said, when the Lord Jesus Christ returns in the air. We said, no, no, don't fool yourself. Now is the accepted time, says the Word of God. Today, if you'll hear his voice, harden not your heart. That's what the psalmist says. As David wrote many of those psalms, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. How quickly the heart hardens. Very quickly. Today, if you will hear his voice. It's all thrown upon us, isn't it? Nobody's putting a gun against your head. You must believe. But God is reaching out and he's saying, you must be born again. The Lord Jesus says, come unto me and I will give you rest. Who's going to argue with the Lord Jesus? Christ this evening. Who would lie with the Son of God? The Son of God. That was what Paul could say, I'm crucified with Christ, but I live, but not I. But Christ lives in me. Here you go, we don't live by our own natural efforts. This man was like a dynamo, he was on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ. He had new life, he'd been born again. He'd been born again. You must be born again, it cannot be any other way. God has to give us a new nature. As a baby's born, it grows. It develops. It develops. And same for us. We must be born again. These were the words of the Lord to Nicodemus. He wanted to know the way ahead. And Jesus said, you must be born again. So there you go. It's not something we strive for or try to work out. We let Jesus into our hearts and we are born again. We have a new life. And so he didn't live as he used to live. He still had the natural flesh, he still had that sinful nature like we all have until we're with Christ. But that can be put at bay. We can have the Holy Spirit within. Christ lives in me, in the power of the Holy Ghost, the Comforter. Do you want a Comforter tonight? Do you want a Comforter? I certainly seek for comfort. Praise God, I found it. Many have found it. We found it in Christ. And he sends the Comforter. His disciples were maybe weeping when he left this world. I'll send another Comforter, he said. I'll send another Comforter. Do not worry. Do not fear. I'll send another Comforter. And he will abide with you. And he'll show you all things. And it's by the power of the Spirit that we can speak of these wonderful things. The Spirit that lives in our hearts. That gives us the power. That gives us the motivation and the energy to live for God and Christ. And to speak well of them. And to tell you of them. If you haven't yet heard these wonderful things. He lived in the power of a new life. And he lived by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. The childlike faith. We enter into the kingdom of God by childlike faith. Childlike faith. When we accept what God says unconditionally, we accept what he says, and that's the end of it. By the faith of the Son of God. The Son of God. Let's remind ourselves that he was God the Son. He wasn't just a man, Christ Jesus. He was the eternal Son of God. John's Gospel, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And then it says the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. And we beheld his glory. And I want to ask you tonight, have you been able to behold, to embrace, to take in his glory? His glory. Did we sing of glory? Give him the glory. Great things he has done. Can you behold the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight? The one that suffered and was tempted like as we are. He suffered the human temptations. He could never sin, of course. He was perfect. But the one that was beaten and mocked and scourged, crowned with thorns, whipped, beaten about the face, the Son of God, God himself. And this is his love to you and me. And how wonderful we can speak of it this evening. The one who is eternal, whoever was, the express image of God, says the Bible, the perfect image of God. And he's the one who loved us and gave himself for us. And we cannot surely measure these words very well in our hearts. But we want to impress upon you this evening that his love is deeper than the deepest ocean, wider than the widest sea, higher than the highest heaven. There's a wonderful verse in Psalms that says, so far as the east is from the west, has he removed our transgressions from us. That's how great his love is. It was able to come and it was able to take account of all of our wrongdoings and our sin. You've got to look out the window. You can see the sin abounding. But where sin abounds, the Bible says, grace abounds much more. Grace abounds much more. That undeserved favour and love of God is the grace of God. It abounds more. It's greater. There may be sin outside the door. There may be sadness and sorrow and sickness and suffering. You can go on and on. But the love and the grace of God is far greater than all that. And it can eclipse all of that. And it can eclipse all those things in your heart this evening if you'll let Jesus come in. Everything can fade away, and that powerful love of the Lord and the love of God can really touch your heart this evening. And we pray you in Christ's stead, as Paul says, be ye reconciled to God. Be reconciled to God this evening. Do you feel you don't know him? He's distant, he's far away. Perhaps you do. But he can come very near this evening, and you'll be able to address him as Father through Jesus Christ the Lord. Know him as Saviour and Lord of all. The Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I don't think anybody else could have written these words, you know. I think he was given the privilege of writing these words because of that massive transformation in his life. He was given that privilege to write those words. And we've got the privilege as well to say these words personally and to mean them truly in our hearts. Didn't we sing of truly believing? In one of these verses, the vilest offender who truly believes. Yes, he wrote this verse, the vilest offender. He called himself the chief of sinners, Paul did. The chief of sinners. How well we think of Paul when we read and sing these words. And so he had the inestimable privilege of writing these words, who loved me and gave himself for me. And so too is our privilege tonight, if you would only listen to the voice of God as it speaks to you this evening, and that you would invite the Lord Jesus into your heart. It's nothing magical. It's nothing out of this world. The Lord knows us. He knows our feeble frame. But he wants us in childlike faith, in simplicity, and yet in wonder, to invite the Lord Jesus into our lives, to cast all our cares and burdens upon him. God cares for us, the Bible says. He careth for you. And he gave himself for me. Now there's only two categories of person this evening. You can say this truly in your heart, or you can either not say it at all, or you can say it and be deceiving yourself. But you know, you're not answerable to anybody here tonight. You're only answerable to God and Christ. Who better to talk with this evening than God the Father, having already invited the Lord Jesus in? And then you can go on and you can speak to God, and you can call him Father as one of his children, as one of his sons, and enter into that marvellous relationship, being in the family of God, walking and talking with Jesus Christ daily. Perhaps you say, I've heard it before. All very well and good. Here it is again. The glorious gospel of our salvation, inviting the Lord Jesus into our lives, realising he bore the brunt of all our sins on that cross at Calvary. And to be able to say these wonderful words that Paul was able to say. I'll read the verse and then I'll step down. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Praise the Lord.